title of my talk this evening is Be a Healer. Be a Healer. There's a lot that can be said. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't always have to agree on things. Somewhere along the line, we've decided if there are things we disagree on, it's time for debate. Brother on brother, it's time for a debate. It's time to get up to the pulpit, set the place on fire, say, see, I was right. And there we see the charred remains of the church. And we look at that and we say, that's good leadership. Sometimes we say, that's good leadership. And we need to stop enabling that. Men, whenever you're working at your home congregations and it's time for a meeting, bring someone in who is a healer. If you're a leader of a church, however you'd like to define that role this evening, I want to say a few things this evening to you particularly, but to all of us. Because right now, the church needs to heal. Right? No matter what you think or what you believe, no matter what happened 15 months ago, the church needs to heal. And we have two choices. Bring people together or drive that wedge. Split us even further apart. What's our choice going to be? I know what Jesus' choice would be. He brings people together. He heals people. Look in the New Testament, the Gospel accounts, Jesus, chapter after chapter after chapter, whether it's someone who's real lowly, whether it's the most noble person, there's Jesus healing. You know, obviously we can't go and physically heal somebody through miracles today, so what can we do? How can you and I choose to be healers? How can we look at the church, where it's at right now, and say, you know what, I want to bring people together instead of driving that wedge. Well, that's what I want to talk about this evening. I want to start with saying that I think this is a command. I don't think this is just some noble thing. I think it's a command. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. These are very easy verses to just skip over because they're right there in the beginning of the book. You know, Paul's doing his introduction and just kind of starts skimming down to where he starts getting after it. But notice what he says, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Paul says, God comforts us in all our tribulation. He says this, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. So Paul says this, as Christians, we have a duty to go and comfort other people. Why? Because God's done the same thing for us. He found us in the midst of all of our troubles, no matter how recently or how far away that was, and He comforted us. He continues to comfort us. And Paul says, you have a duty to do the same thing. And so let's talk about this. How can we heal the church? How can we bring people together? I want to go over a few quick things. There's the age-old question, what can I do for the church? Well, here's a few. First and foremost, we speak kindly to one another. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. How can we make somebody feel better just like that? Speak life to them. Hey, it's good to see you. It's been a while. Appreciate what you do for the church. Maybe you find a young parent in the church. Hey, I think you're doing a really good job bringing your kids to the worship services. Maybe you find someone a little bit older. Hey, you're doing a really good job. It's great to see you. It makes my day to see you. Speak life. It heals people. I think they've had studies done that shows that if you speak kindly to your plants, they grow better than plants that weren't spoken to kindly. So what's it going to do to us? But you get on Facebook and there's debating. Sometimes we enable that. How else can we heal the church? Well, I'm sure there's somebody in your home congregation that needs a ride to a doctor's appointment. That might seem like a small thing to you, but to them, that might bring them in, and you might heal the church. Maybe they need a meal. No, people don't usually just come out and say, hey, can you make me a meal? That's not usually how those meal trains are started. Hey, somebody start a meal train for me. It takes some initiative. Somebody in the congregation usually says, hey, this person's going through a hard time. Let's get together and send about a week's worth of food over there. That's how we can heal the church. We can visit the lonely. I guarantee you there are lonely people in the Lord's church. I guarantee it. And that the only human interaction they get is Sunday morning, afternoon, and Wednesday evening. What about the other days of the week when there's no one for them to talk to? Let's heal the church. The church needs it. Perhaps now more than ever. At least perhaps now more than ever in any of our lifetimes. What does the Bible say? James 1, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. I know of many new widows in the Lord's church. It's a sad thing. Who's there for them? Who wants to heal the church? Who wants to be a healer? Who wants to go and visit with those who are grief-stricken? Who wants to go and visit with those who are sick? Who wants to heal the church? Another way we can heal the church is we can share with each other, especially those of us who are well off. 1 Timothy 6, let's notice a few of these verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want to notice verses 17 through 19. Paul writes to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. He says, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but what do we trust in? The living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Listen to this. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. It's like an investment, isn't it? I'm going to spend this here with the knowledge that something far greater awaits me. You invest. We like to invest, don't we? We have our different worldly investments. Paul says, invest in heavenly treasure. It's kind of one of these great Bible paradoxes, right? You give away and you store up. How do you heal the church? Well, some of us can do it by sharing our wealth. Some people have the ability to write a single check and change the trajectory of a congregation. I know of examples of it. A single check. How can I heal the church? Maybe that applies to you. Another way we can heal the church is we can listen to those who are in distress. There are a lot of people who would identify as being in distress. And it's easy to get up here and condemn them. Make fun of the decisions they made in their storm. That happens. I know it's happening. We get up, some of us, hide behind the protection of the pulpit, and those who are in distress, maybe we mock the decisions they had to make in a tough time. What gives us that right? Come down from the pulpit. Go look somebody in the eyes. Have a real conversation. And whenever you see their eyes and you're looking at the grief in their face and they say, here's why I had to do what I had to do, your whole perspective usually changes. How do we heal the church? Sometimes you just need to listen. If you ever go to like nursing school or medical school, if you work in human resources, what do they always tell you? People just want to know you care. They don't really care what you know before they know that you care. One way we can heal the church, just listen to other people. What does James write again? James 1, 19 and 20, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But we've kind of flipped that on its head and said, no, let's be quick to speak and slow to hear, because I'm right. And I'm not really interested in healing the church. What does this all come down to? It comes down to making sure that our brothers and sisters aren't lacking in anything. Why? Because we are all part of each other. Whether you like it or not, that's the way the Lord's church is. It's His body. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If one member suffers, the whole suffers. Before we get up here to this pulpit and say, I've got all the answers, maybe we ought to look at our home congregation and say, is there anyone there suffering? Because if they're suffering, you're suffering. And if you're suffering, you might not be the right person to start giving out all these answers. Let's heal the church. Marcus, in his lesson, alluded to these verses. I want to read them here. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him as a shepherd divides his sheep. The sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. And the king will say to those who are on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to this. What does Jesus say to these sheep on his right hand who are inheriting eternal life? Jesus says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. In other words, you were focused on healing. But the sheep have something to say. They say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you drink? When were you a stranger, and we took you in? When were you naked? And when did we clothe you? When were you a prisoner? And when did we go visit you in jail? What does Jesus say? As much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Sometimes we don't preach those verses. I haven't heard those verses preached in a long time. I'll go to a gospel meeting. We'll invite people from the community. We'll preach stuff about what they ought to wear, how they ought to look. We don't mention the heart. We don't mention stuff like this, the stuff that actually changes people. And we sit back and we call it leadership. Why? Let's focus on healing the church. There was a woman in the Bible that was focused on healing the church. Her name's Tabitha. If you're in your Bibles, it's in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. The Bible says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to him, Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made them while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. It's easy to skip over Tabitha here. She's a minor character. She's not mentioned again and again and again. And I just want to spend a little bit of time here in Acts 9. Tabitha has died. And the church just doesn't know what to do. Because we look at these people, They come and they show Peter all these things. They say, look, here's the clothing she made us. We didn't have anything to wear, but Tabitha took care of that. Please heal her. You know, sometimes we make excuses for why we can't heal the church. Well, I don't have the right car to give somebody a ride. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have a spare bedroom to bring somebody in who's staying for a weekend. But you have something. The Lord blessed you with something. Tabitha had needles, crochet hooks, you know, whatever she had. She used it. And she healed the church. And her role in the church as a woman, as a sister, was so big that when she had died, they just didn't know what they were going to do. Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What does the Hebrew writer say? God doesn't forget the work you do when you minister to the saints. Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How do we be a healer? We do those things. And it's not easy. And I don't have, you know, this cheat code that just plugs you right in and gets you going. It's not always easy to do these things. We have to get outside of our comfort zones. And I think that the way we get started with this is that we embrace humility. Peter says in his first epistle, clothe yourselves with humility. In other words, like you're going to work in the morning, you put on your scrubs, you put on your suit, you put on your hard hat, you clothe yourselves. Well, put on humility while you're there. Whenever we deny ourselves and say, you know what, this universe really doesn't revolve around me, and the church really can go on if I don't say everything that's on my mind, well, we're on that path to doing the things that we need to be doing. What did Jesus say? John 13, verses 34 through 35. A new commandment, this is new, that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, you also love one another. Listen to this. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Jesus didn't say, if you go and do all these other things, that's how people are going to know. They're going to look at your exterior and say, oh, there's a Christian. No, they're going to look at your works. They're going to look at how you choose to serve other Christians. So much so that you embrace their needs more than your own needs. Last verse, we'll end with this. When we humble ourselves, when we love our brethren, and whenever we dedicate ourselves to healing the church, we fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think sometimes we don't always think about that. He says, the law of Christ has been fulfilled in you whenever you bear each other's burdens. That's what the Bible says. It's not what, maybe it's not always what the culture of the church says, but I'll take what the Bible says. So when we do these things, we fulfill the law of Christ. We show the world we're disciples, and we heal the church.